reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The first lesson reminds us that the body and blood of Jesus are truly present in the bread and wine, and that those receiving the Lord's Supper must understand the significance of this presence, lest they eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Reading from 1 Corinthians 11 at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. And the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Please rise. The gospel lesson shows us how the love of Jesus surrounds his supper. That love should motivate us to love one another. Proper examination for this meal leads us to ask, "Have I loved like Christ?" Coming forward to this meal is a statement to God and each other that we will amend our unloving ways. Reading from John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That's why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the account of the Lord's Supper, but I would like you to hear the words from the Gospel of Luke. "And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" This is our gospel reading. When my children recently all got married, I thought my grocery bill would go down. Not so. Since they have been married, at least not every week, but in some weeks, I've had one family over one night, another family over another night, another family over on another night, and then every family on Sunday afternoon after church. My grocery bill has not gone down. But I say this not by way of complaint. In fact, it is one of the blessings that we have in our family, that we can sit at a table so frequently. Sitting at table with each other, if you will, coming to supper, is one of the greatest gifts God has given to us. Note that as Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, that he talks about it, doing it again. Later on, when we are gathered to him in his kingdom. If you ever wondered, you know, are you going to eat when you are resurrected from the dead? The answer is an affirmative. You'll not only eat, but according to Jesus, we'll even have some wine present. Part of being with God is to sit down at table with him, to eat and drink. It's one of the most important things that we actually do in life. Based on some research I've been doing lately with regard to eating meals together, particularly for younger families, it is next to coming to church together, the best thing you can do for children. It raises their academic scores. It lowers the possibility of them using drugs. Lowers the amount of times that they get suspended or detention in school. I mean, everything you can think of happening to children is lifted significantly when you have meals together as a family. And everything bad that you can think of happening to children increases when you don't have meals together as a family. Eating together is so incredibly important. And as a matter of fact, I'll bet when you think back upon your life, possibly some of the most significant events in your life happened around a common meal. Now, maybe it was only a chocolate malt, but maybe that's the first thing that you shared with the person that you've married. How often when we want to renew a relationship with someone, do we say, hey, we've got to do lunch together? Or we've got to do dinner together. It is not an accident that when Jesus tells us to do something, to remember him, do this in remembrance of me. What he commands us to do is to come together and eat with him, not just at the head of the table, but him providing the meal. A meal of great cost. A meal that cost him his earthly life. A meal that came at the cost of severe suffering and pain and rejection and loneliness, with even God the Father, for a brief moment in history, turning his back on the Son of God. One of the challenges I think Christianity faces in our world today is that it has been over, if you will, intellectualized. That faith is, it's just something we have in our heads. And as long as you went to Sunday school and you got the basics down, as long as you can recite a few doctrines, that you're remembering Jesus. At the Lord's Supper, our Lord said, not so. God is not just a philosophy. He's not just a system of teaching. We address him as Christ taught, as our Father, who art in heaven, and a Father who calls us not into a mere isolated relationship with him, but who calls us into families. It's kind of interesting when Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure from earth, and he talks about going back to his Father's house. Now, he doesn't say, you know, I'm going to leave and go to my Father's house and prepare a bunch of other houses for you all to live in. Here's how the words go in John chapter 14. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And I go and prepare a place for you. You don't get a separate house in heaven. You get one house with lots of rooms. And that's how families live, isn't it? When Jesus died and rose again, the ultimate act he was trying to accomplish was reconciliation. Not just between God and us as individuals, but reconciliation between us and God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is for this reason, I believe, that when Jesus says of one thing, "This is how you remember me." That he didn't point to the Ten Commandments. He didn't point to a doctrine. He pointed to an action. That we come together. We sit down at table. And we eat as a family. Receiving the meal purchased at great price by our Lord Jesus Christ. Feasting upon his very body and blood. But not just as individuals, but as family. God help us to live our Christian's life on this earth in the same way that we'll be living that life in heaven. Living together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Caring for each other as God Himself has cared for us. This is how Jesus wanted to be remembered. And now, it's time for all of us to come to supper. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.